No. Oh, it's a different one. It's it's one that
that guy, the Jewish, the Jewish American singer. He has a movie about him being this Jewish American singer.
Mel Brooks.
No. Weird Al, right?
Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline. Ba, ba, ba. Yes, I can't believe you got there. And there's an avalanche, and that avalanche goes on for 47 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they must have spent a lot of money on this sequence, but mm-hmm. like, dear God, it just keeps avalanching.
Yeah.
I to show scope, I guess, but like,
mm-hmm.
and then they're just admiring their work while these women cry and cry, and they're like, ha 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 ha. Did you notice, I'm sure you did, when they pull back into the cabin, freaking Adam's ass is like sobbing yeah. women, like,
yeah, he's singing the musical number about the rape of women because he is the biggest asshole.
He really is, like, he's like two assholes combined into one asshole,
like a 2-3 foot 2 men inside of a like a big leather jacket.
So he's like three assholes in a trench coat.
Yeah. Yes. A trench coat made of leather. And just imagine it's hot. It's all
fringe
the time.
Leather.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smells like yak urine.
Really, like, when he, spiky red hair sparsely everywhere.
When he shaves, it's just ass hair that he's shaving off, yeah, except for like the
he's
mustache.
Entirely coated in pubic hair. And yet he's the one I like. Okay, so you know how I like in like undeniable villain, like they're just a villain all the way through because you can thoroughly hate them. Like he's kind of he is the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Are we the bad people? He's that bad people.
Yeah,
it's like George Bush saying mission accomplished.
His vibe is mission accomplished. We've got the women, and Millie comes running out.
Yeah,
and she's like, what the f-?
Yeah.
And he's all like, we got wives. Gideon's like, oh, we forgot to get a preacher.
Yeah. And all the girls are like, what the f-?
Right. They go from, and it's funny that they're sobbing. And when they hear we forgot to get the preacher, they sob harder.
Yeah. It's almost
perceptibly harder.
It's almost like they didn't want to get kidnapped.
No, they didn't want to get kidnapped. But now they can't get laid either.
Right. Oh, and what is it? Millie says the house is for the girls. All you stay in the barn, including you, Adam. And she has like this fight with him, and it like causes him to just pick up and leave.
I'm going to go to the cabin up north, and I'll come back cabin. When the yeah. I'll come back when the pass opens.
Mm-hmm. Gideon is like, Millie, you gotta. Adam's going up to the cabin by himself. You gotta stop him. And she's just like, no. If he goes, let him go. He can't treat people this way. And this is not the first time that he has just thought about women as property, because he kind of saw Millie that way.
Yeah. So. Just a thing you can have.
Mm-hmm. My next note,
but also, and the way that we are all so solely. We're so multifaceted. If Jen were to be like, and now it's woman to woman, but if Jen was like, and I will have you, I'd be like,
well, don't feel bad about it, because this movie kind of explains my submissive tendencies.
Oh,
yeah.
We'll discuss.
Well, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, there's a part of me that, like, if I'm attracted to a guy, I have found myself to be like more submissive than I need to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel bad about it.
Why?
Well, because like...
Oh, you feel like you're giving up something?
I feel like I'm giving up a level of autonomy. And sometimes it's like, I don't even know the guy that well. Oh. But I'm just sort of like, oh, you're attractive. So there's like this thing about infatuation where it like can last anywhere from 3 to 6 months.
No, I was stupid for Jen for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Maybe but 2 years.
You also like dated her. So like imagine not actually dating. your crush. You know,
I did act different in front of. There's something stupid about humans where we're like, I need to immediately become the thing that I think that person wants.
Right, right. And so it's like, that's what I think of when I think of like submissive tendencies. So I kind of am just sort of like, you live in this fantasy. Like for me, I live kind of in this fantasy in that I have to like pull myself away from it, you know, and, you know, maybe find another crush, you know.
I imagine that whomever you end up with, if it is your heart's desire, I believe it will happen for you. I think that in my brain, the ideal person will consider your feminist shenanigans, your autonomy as a beautiful thing about you and not something that is detrimental to a relationship.
Yeah, like I think that any relationship I would be in where my crush would be like that, it wouldn't last. Mm-mm. Like I would just be like my the attractiveness that I feel towards that person would just get cut in half because they were like, well, I don't really like you because you're too outspoken for me. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to go ahead and you see that corner where nobody's standing? I'm just going to go over there and I'm just going to be like, ugh.
I very much, when I stop having a crush on somebody, it would be very much be they'd say something that crossed my boundaries. And I might not tell you what they are. If you are like, these basic human rights are not important to me because they are not me. I'd be like, oh,
yeah.
Everything I thought about you is gone. It's why I thought I was I forget what it is. I thought I was demisexual for a while. Mm-hmm. Like just like I fall in love with somebody's brain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true. Like I do fall in love. Have fallen in love with somebody's brain, but like
it's like you were a lot cuter when you didn't say anything.
Oh my! It's why I advocate for himbos. God bless you. If okay, you're but kind, sweet, and dumb.
Here's the thing about himbos.
Huh.
They are not just attractive. They are not just kind of intellectually ignorant, but they are also very respectful of people. And like, yes. They are going to be like, you know, I don't really understand.
Like Thor.
Like I don't, I like trans people are like, I don't understand what it means to be trans, but trans rights. You know,
right? Like err on the side of being a good bro.
Yeah. Like, that's not something that I really understand, but I trust your experiences. So. That's what I think of when I think of a himbo.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So
okay, so he's gone. She's there with the girls. The girls are kind of locked in the house. Mild shenanigans ensue.
Okay, but like valid shenanigans. Like they like the guy. So it stops snowing. The guys are doing shoveling and everything, and like the girls escalate their like frustrations by like throwing snow, and then a couple of them like I'm like, you can like they take these chamber pots and they dump them.
Wash basins.
They're probably wash basins.
But I daydream that they're chamber pots.
I like to imagine that that's in there and maybe a turd. and then the last three throw snowballs at him, and they kind of wince.
Yeah, the one you like,
Ben.
He's all like, y'all are wussies.
And then he gets the snowball at him. And
Dorcas,
yeah. Who's played by Julie Newmar.
She's so f***ing hot.
Mm-hmm. But he realizes that they were throwing rocks in the snowballs.
Snowballs with rocks in them. And I'm like,
good, good.
Good.
I mean, you did kidnap them, but, you know, a rock and a snowball, you know, aimed at your head is, you know, not a, is like equal now.
So the girls are, now we cut to the scene where the girls are up in the room and they're like, I'm so freaking bored and I can't stand that book about the Sabine women anymore. I love it so much. I hate it. And then they get to tussling. Like they're rolling around on the floor and Millie comes in and she can't do that. I need all of your help because I'm pregnant. Except she doesn't say pregnant. I'm expecting.
I'm with child.
Whatever. They are all like super like dreamy eyed. They all become, they're like, oh, I want to get married now. I wish I was the one having a baby. I wish I was going to have childbirth.
I wish I could potentially die in childbirth.
Right. Or like, oh man, the child survival rate in 1850 was not good. So no. Like, I want to have a baby that has like a 40% chance of living or whatever.
We need more children to what is like how you've seen Gravity Falls, right?
Yeah, but no.
Yeah, there was an episode where they do time travel and they go back to like the 1800s and more children to tend to the plow, you know, or something like that. It was very like old-timey.
Gross.
It was hilarious.
Oh, I wish I was given my only true duty to create an heir.
And they start competing over who has the biggest Stockholm syndrome.
I mean, you had a choice of 10 men all fighting for you, and now you have one brother fighting for you.
But they're really attractive, according to Millie.
Not after they shave.
Not after they kidnap you. Not after they're covered in piss.
I don't know if we bleep. I'm going to keep it in there until I figure it out later.
June wedding eye roll, hand holding, and then the song where they're like, spring, spring, spring,
right,
spring,
so,
spring, spring, spring.
So they have this musical number where the girls are all talking about being a June bride, and then it goes into the fact that there's like, oh, it takes forever to get through the winter, but they're helping Millie out and everything. And then it goes into another musical number about how, you know, all these guys are just, you know, kind of, I mean, they kidnapped us, but I guess after a few months of doing some hard labor, we kind of like saw that maybe we were the unreasonable ones.
Cause we were the brides they needed all along.
My goodness. Cause they're like, they're having this musical number about like, you know, how all of the, like, cause it's spring and spring's in the air and
all these animals are
Yeah.
All of the everything has babies now. And doesn't that make you feel like having babies now? Like,
it's the 1st of May. 1st of May. Outdoor f***ing starts today. So bring your favorite lady.
Or at least your favorite lady.
That's Jonathan Coulton's 1st of May.
We're going on the JoCo cruise one day, me and her.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great. I'm going to sing IKEA, and I'm going to insert that one line that I always sing whenever I sing IKEA, because they say, what is it? IKEA. Oh, no. There's a horse and a half a horseman. IKEA.
IKEA.
If you don't have a home,
you can buy one there.
Yeah. Provided you have the funds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Provided you have the funds. You sing that every time.
Yeah.
I love that.
But it's also like, you know, like everyone has a home except for the homeless. But if you don't have a home, you could buy one there, provided you have the funds.
I love it when people.
I want to.
There's this Bob Dylan song that goes, they stone you when you're riding in your car. They stone you when you're, and that's like the whole thing. And it's just like that Bob mm-hmm. Dylan thing.
Yeah.
And like one time I'm riding in the car with Madeline, that probably back when we were watching this movie a lot. And I went, la, la, la. And so every time he says a line, to this day, my brain goes, la, la, la. They stone you when you're fine and when you're able. La, la, la. it's just like that, it's that karaoke song that's so good. Buttercup. No, was it Fill Me Up Buttercup?
Why do you build me up?
No. Oh, it's a different one. It's one that
that guy, the Jewish, the Jewish American singer. He has a movie about him being the Jewish American singer.
Mel Brooks.
No. Weird Al, right?
Sweet Caroline.
Caroline. Bum, bum, bum. Yes. I can't believe you got there. Good job. This just proves you're the other half of my brain. I don't know. Okay. So let's have that baby come up. Right. So they're like, the baby's coming. The girls run up and down the stairs.
So much hot water. All the towels.
Yes. And the boys are just pacing, like pacing in their fancy shirts. And I think I like that they got dressed up.
Yeah.
Because she's having a baby and they want to be like presentable.
Well, like, and right before the babies come in, they're doing the musical number. And that's when they have the shirts on.
Oh, because they're courting.
Yeah.
They're a courting.
Those are our courting shirts.
Okay. So it gets quiet. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you hear. Audibly put in a baby smacking sound. somebody in sound was like, you know, we're not going to know the baby's born unless it gets smacked around a little bit. I've been to more than a handful of births. I have watched the babies enter this world. No one does that. Anybody who gets smacked is normally the husband or partner who's getting too close and breathing in the face of the woman who is struggling to birth a child into this world.
Hmm. And well, Gideon's like, I'm an uncle, and then he faints.
Yes. Mm. We have a scene where everyone presents her with gifts and mm-hmm. baby gifts, and somebody made a chair, obviously.
Gideon made the chair
for an infant.
He's the youngest. Okay, he's trying.
You know what Gideon should go do?
He should go get Adam.
Somebody needs to get Adam.
Someone hasn't already gone up there to be like, Millie's pregnant. Get down here, you.
So he's all like, Adam is immediately just like, because Millie has proven herself to be a liar ever.
Right.
She's like the most goodest person in this whole film.
Yeah.
And she's all like, he's all like, it's a trick to get me to come back. And Gideon's like, no, you fucking nutsack. I have to tell you, I always have admired you. And I know that to be the man you helped raise me to be, I need to tell you how I feel. And so he just pops him in the face. Because Gideon's the best.
Yeah.
And he just pops in the face. And Adam, like, grabs him by the collar. And then and it's just like, and it's, he's about to beat the shit out of him. But he's like, oh, right, my brother, family and stuff. I'm supposed to be the grown-up. Picks him up off the ground and sets him on top of a horse. That's how big this freaking Bigfoot man is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then Gideon just rides away, sad. And so you know what you should do right after you give a birth, like a day later? You should be like stomping and clapping and like playing musical chairs.
Right.
And like Gideon falls on the floor because he's so cute.
And in the middle of this moment, this happiness, who walks through the door but Adam?
Oh, Adam. The boys and girls are ushered out.
He's all like, time to correct my mistakes. I recognize that taking people against their will is wrong.
You came up with that all by yourself?
Yeah. No, he didn't. It was because of the fact that Millie gave him the riot act like three times this movie.
And okay, so he's like, well, I was thinking about the little girl. And how if I had a little girl, if that was stolen from me, it would make me upset. So I decided I have to get those girls back to their families.
Now that I have a daughter, so I'm a feminist.
No! Straight to jail! Straight to jail.
What I lost in penis size, I grew in empathy.
I grew three more assholes that day.
Now I'm six assholes in a trench coat.
Sorry, future editing, Jen. I know. I'm sorry. Okay. The baby's name is Hannah.
It could have been Hagar or Hepzibah. And personally, I would have gone with Hepzibah. She sounds like a forest witch.
Yes. Uh-huh. We need more witches than goblins. That's my goblin noise. Okay. So they kiss. It's lovely. And now this is what I call the squirrely girl roundup.
So Adam goes out and he's like, guys, we got to go and we got to go.
No,
and take the women
they have
back.
All their guns. They're like, we're not going to let you do it.
And he's just like, what do you think's going to happen when they come up here? You think there's going to be a shootout and someone's going to get killed? And you think those girls are going to marry you after that? I'm going to talk some sense, which, you know, is like totally my character. Because I think things through.
Empathetic master politician.
And Gideon, the one who.
Adam Potato Chip. Peppercorn. Petitoire.
Oh, you're asking about his last name.
Pipitu. Pepetto? Bipedo.
Periwinkle.
Pepino.
Adam Periwinkle.
Periwinkle.
Pipitu. Portnoy. Portobello.
Minoy.
Portobello Ahoy, Road. Portobello Road. This is from a different musical than what we're watching right now. But it had Angela Lansbury in her 50s, and she still looked like a dish.
So. Pippadoo?
No, I can't. I thought it was in here, but it's not. Not in Sean Facts.
Oh, I think you said it earlier, though.
Yeah, it was Potabi.
Potabi.
Sorry. I like the fact that you don't remember names, and so it's funner like hearing the different ones.
Adam Pepino.
Adam Peregrine Took.
You're a fool of a Took.
Squirrely
roundup.
Yeah, and they go to get the girls, but they can't be found because they all want to stay. And it's like when they got kidnapped the first time, but in reverse.
So they're like pulling them out of hen houses. They're like pulling them out of the hay. And what's her face is laying in the hay. And I was like, I would roll in Dorcas? The hay with Dorcas.
Yes.
Oh, my yeah. God.
I mean, like with Ben there, that would be a nice combo.
I mean, I'm sure there's a fan fiction out there. And if there isn't, it might be a good way to warm up your writing skills.
Yeah.
And I would read that and I would give you feedback.
Yes. It was all good. Oh, but so they get all of the girls in the barn as like the girls like dads and men general.
What are you gonna do to them?
We're gonna hang them up by the nearest tree, and they're like, oh.
The reverend stands up and he's like, okay, we are all fathers and brothers here, so we hold nothing against you. But
which is very progressive for the 1850s.
Because yeah, I guess so. He's like, I need to know. When we rode up, I heard a baby crying, and no judgment, but like. Who does that baby belong to? And the girls look at each other with the same energy as the guys looking at each other when Adam broke the bed. They're like, some f***ery is about to happen is what that look is. And they all in unison say, Mine!
Do you want to do that again?
No, we're leaving it in. Okay, so... now we cut to the living room.
Shotgun wedding.
Literally.
It's a nice day for a shotgun wedding.
Okay, we're so close, guys. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
we are. And it's not even 2 hours. This is a really
literal miracle happening right now.
We just need
now.
To do musicals from now
on.
Because
we can't describe the whole song.
We're going to eventually do Hello, Dolly when we get back.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Okay, so... the reverend's like, do you ladies take these gentlemen to be your spouses? The ladies coyly look around the men standing behind them to the men standing behind them,
which are all their dads with shotguns,
and they all nod in unison, and they are like, we do. And do you gentlemen, do you take these women to be your lawfully wedded wives? And they all do the slow crane around to look at the dads, who are all holding shotguns, and the dads take one step forward and they turn around and they're like, we do. Your guy has the faintest of smiles on his lips, and that's the best face in the room. He's just like, oh, yeah, I know. They all sleep in one room.
Yeah.
On their wedding night?
I mean, like, I would like to think that they probably, like, I don't know how they would work that. I really don't know.
I mean,
because
like,
they don't. They
there's still snow outside.
Yeah. What? One person's gonna take the bedroom up up on the second floor. You got someone in the kitchen. You got like you got another couple in.
Do
okay. Let's do the math.
Do they
this.
Have enough sheets to like? Oh yeah.
So, okay. So
seven brothers. That's
they have
14
okay,
people, right?
Six couples that actually need their own space at this point, because Adam and Millie have their own.
Right.
So you have like one couple that's in the bedroom that they all share. That's one couple. Then you have one couple who's sleeping in the living room.
Kitchen. Laundry room. We have two more couples.
Yeah. That's
oh,
the
maybe,
barn.
Maybe one goes up to the cabin.
One goes to the trapper cabin and the other's in the barn.
Okay. All right.
So, now it makes sense.
Though I think the washroom and kitchen are too close together, so maybe like a couple just goes outside.
But it's still snowing out.
Yeah.
No, just hang a sheet. It'll be fine.
We know that they can
you
raise a barn, too.
There's upstairs in the barn and downstairs in the barn.
Yeah. Still.
Yeah, still gross. Mm. Okay. You're gonna have to hang a sheet. We've all done grosser things. Oh man, we've done grosser things. All right.
And how does this movie end?
Oh, they pan over to Adam and Millie and they kiss.
Mm-hmm. And then it pans out to all of the recently married couples and they're kissing too. And then it goes to the end.
And we get like 2-3 cards with actors' names on it. They're listed as the wives and the brothers, which is gross. And then that's it. That's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 1 hour and 58 minutes.
What the?
And 59 seconds. Oh, it's 1:59. Yeah. That took us less than 2 hours.
It's because we have a hiatus coming
up. Yeah, like we would take a hiatus as we finally got our game on point.
It's still like, what, half an hour longer than the movie, right?
Yeah.
But we did have a little bit of non-plot walkthrough at the beginning. Yeah.
And there were several musical numbers, also like a few fight scenes. So we just need to just do this movie again.
As told by Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
You can't kill no dicks without a bunch of sticks.
I'm Wick. All right. So do we still have some more Sean facts?
Yeah, we have, I mean, not a full buttload of Sean facts.
Six
but
buttloads in a trench coat at this point.
And a duffel bag, according to like some of our other episodes.
Millie, She and Howard Keel would later reprise their roles in a Seven Brides for Seven Brothers stage adaptation. She also appeared in dancing and singing roles in many other musical films, including Royal Wedding and Rich, Young, and Pretty, and also A Date with Judy. Dorcas Galen is played by Julie Newmar, as we mentioned, and she is a classically trained ballerina. She would later rise to fame as Catwoman in the 60s TV version of Batman. She also won a Supporting Actress Tony Award for The Marriage Go-Round. Her singing voice for the film was dubbed by Betty Allen. Ruth Jepson, or Ruta Lee, and in parentheses, Sean has Kilmonas. I think maybe that was like a married name or something. Ruta Lee appeared in the sitcom Roseanne as the first girlfriend of Roseanne's mother. Her singing parts for the film were dubbed in post-production by Betty Noyes. Martha, her singing voice for the film was dubbed by Bobby Canvin. She wears a green dress during the barn raising scene. Liza is played by Virginia Gibson. She was nominated for a Tony Award in 57 and performed regularly as a singer and dancer on The Carson Show. Sarah Keane is played by Betty Carr, and she was a Broadway veteran dancing in Damn Yankees, Happy Hunting, Mask and Gown, and Fanny. I don't know. I mean, I know some of those. Her singing voice for the
I know
film,
some of them words.
Man, lots of these women had dubbed singing voices. Hers was dubbed by Norma Zimmer. Alice Elcott was played by Nancy Kilgus, made her film debut in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and she danced in the film versions of Oklahoma, Shake, Rattle, and Rock, and Alfred Hitchcock's Torn Curtain. Her singing voice for the film was dubbed by Mary Green. All right, from there, I've got a few more production things. Choreographer Michael Kidd originally turned down the film, recalling in 97, "Here are those slobs living off in the woods. They have no schooling. They are uncouth. There's manure on the floor. The cows come in and out, and they're going to get up and dance. We'd be laughed out of the house." Most of the movie was shot on the MGM sound stages, and one exterior sequence was not filmed at the studio. It was shot on location at Corral Creek Canyon in Sun Valley, Idaho. It was here that the escape following the brothers kidnapping their future brides and the avalanche that closed the pass was filmed. For the brides' costumes, designer Walter Plunkett went to the Salvation Army, found old quilts, and turned them into dresses. This is a rare instance of a film from the Hays Production Code era that ends with characters getting away with a crime. The film ends with the Pontopi brothers happily married to the town's women instead of going to prison for kidnapping them. However, since the women chose not to press charges against them, arguably, they would not have gone to prison anyway. And here's a little bit of information about the Hays Code, if you're interested. The Motion Picture Production Code was this self-imposed industry set of guidelines for all the motion pictures that were released between 34 and 68. Named after the president of the Motion Picture Association of America, Will H. Hays, the Hays Code is a set of rules and guidelines that Hollywood films were made to follow. There was a set of moral guidelines and rules that were meant to make Hollywood pictures presentable and safe for the public at large, which meant not covering or featuring certain controversial topics, themes, or actions. Hays Code examples include keeping Catholic and family values, no sexually explicit content, good guys always winning, nothing that promotes bad values or perversion, no swearing, and saying offensive things. The code was brought to Hollywood because of a series of scandals in Hollywood during the 20s and concerns from people and politicians across the nation where making the pre-Hays Code movies look bad. States were setting up their own censorship guidelines, and Hollywood was very worried about the U.S. government getting involved. Hollywood producers were thinking it was best to self-censor, so they would hopefully prevent anyone from intervening. In this way, they would have had a nationwide rule book that would cover all their bases and not have to make multiple cuts of every film to play in different states. In case you are wondering where the First Amendment was during all this, it had been decided in 1915 court case that free speech did not cover motion pictures because they were seen solely as a business and not an art form. And that is Sean Fax for quite some time.
Sean Fax!
Sean Fax! Well.
Should we just shocked and applaud this motherfucker?
Yeah.
Anyone feel like a June bride?
No. I feel like a November pregnant lady.
I can do. Do you guys want to do shocked and applauds and then just kind of move on? Because
let's do shock, 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 applaud, applaud, applaud. Okay. So we end on something amazing.
Okay, so I'll start with my shocked. Like, even to this day, the music is what shocks me the most because it just sticks with me and it will stick with me until the day that I die. Like, what is it? Going court and da 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 da. I mean, the lyrics, like, what was the name of the guy who wrote the lyrics? Johnny Mercer. Johnny Mercer.
Dude.
Yeah, like, I mean, lyrics are just like, but like, even still, that da 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 da, the lyrics can just go ahead and you know, get tossed in a snowball with a rock. But like the music itself, the instrumentals, you know, it just is very catchy, mm-hmm, and it, mm-hmm, just, it's like, it's an earworm. It's an earworm.
Yeah.
So like,
it's rewatchable. When some musicals get really...
Well, I remember, like, when I started really watching this movie, I was like, it was one of my go-tos. It was up there with, like, Les Mis and Phantom of the Opera.
Really?
Yeah. And then I grew up and was like, I don't know how I feel about liking this musical because of the dubious consent. So that was my shocked. What about you, Naomi?
My shocked moment might be how much I've grown since I first started watching this film, because I mean, there are things that I take much umbrage with now, but you know, 20 plus years ago, laying around, like, being much more Christian then, I'm still Christian, but like, not much more Christian then, like, laying around eating my cheesy pretzel bites. Shout out to whoever makes cheesy pretzel bites, the cheap ones that have to be in the black package. Mm-hmm. If I had a discussion with Naomi then and Naomi now, it would be like very much like, you understand that they are committing a crime. You understand that they are objectively in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that these women have been placed in a spot where they can't make a good decision for themselves because the people who keep them in check, the people, and when I say keep them in check, I mean check their, you have a support system who like helps you make good decisions about yourself and your life. Like, you need those people. And so when you're cut off from those people, you can make terrible decisions, and maybe they are the love of your life, but shouldn't the love of your life respect you enough to like do things in a way that honors you and doesn't dismiss you? I would be like, you understand that's not how it's supposed to work. Like, the values they are presenting are Neanderthalish. Like, that, it just doesn't, you don't whack somebody on the head and drag them back to your cave. That's not how it works. That's not how it worked in caveman times. It's not how it works now. And I would be like, yeah, yeah, I get it. You're such a stick in the mud. And I'd be like, yeah, I know, but growth got me here. So sorry, young Naomi, you're still allowed to like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it my turn? I will look back on this movie as a prime example of straight, white, cis, able-bodied privilege.
You? She's not wrong.
I just, like, from a historical standpoint, this is one of those movies that teaches a lesson that it doesn't know it teaches in our age. So I'm kind of shocked that there's something to learn from this movie.
I can't believe how much what you just said made me think of a big bag of Wonder Bread. This is the Wonder Bread of musicals. Like, it's probably not good for you, but it's probably not going to kill you either. You can have Wonder Bread every once in a while. It's not a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty thin on the plot, too. It takes like 3/4 of the movie to even get to the Sobbin sisters.
The last minute of the movie, you get the actual wives of the 7 brothers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, applauds.
Well, I went kind of, you know, I didn't go very deep into it, but it was the dancing was very satisfying to watch. Like, when they get onto the platform at the barn raising, mm-hmm, they start like really hitting their feet on the board, on the dance floor, and you can just hear it. And it's just like, yeah, it's really nice. And like, there's this moment where, like, when they're struggling with this hand or the balancing, there's a moment where one of the great guys and one of the brothers is like they're like trying to show their strength, mm-hmm. but they're balancing at the same time. And so when one of the brothers like defeats him, all these other guys come up and they do this like flourish of like a kick, and then they twirl around, mm-hmm. and then the gray guy like gets thrown off, and that happens like a few more times. And it's just like, it's really satisfying to watch as far as like dance numbers go. And like, I will probably not really get into a lot of the musicals of this era. Funny Girl's the other one that I really like, but Funny Girl doesn't have the dancing the way that this has, because it's a Barbra Streisand comedy film.
She's not about sheer athleticism.
Yeah, yeah. I won't go into like the movie musicals of this era, because they're just so plasticky, and they're all just very like, I don't know, like it's very obviously fake and not in a way that really makes me interested. So, but I'll go back to this one, because I like to imagine that this is the best out of all of the dancing, but I'm not actually going to double check that. Maybe Hello Dolly has some really great dancing and I just don't know it. Probably not.
I think my applaud moment would be, okay, so unlike Rocky that we did last, where like it was an event and like a cultural marker for me, and it gave me lots of style. This movie has like, gives me like warm watching it with friends vibes, like watching it first with Madeline and getting to share it with you, and like getting to have it be your first time watching it, Jen. Like I'm like, yeah, no, and this ridiculous thing happened, and did you catch that? And that's dumb, or that's great, or like that's fascinating, or whatever. Like I have warm memories of sharing this film, but I don't feel like the pressure to have it perfectly memorized. Like there's certain movies that are like karaoke to me, like you just kind of have it all together for you. But like I don't know half the lyrics from this movie, even though I've like watched it a bunch of times.
Suck it, Mercer.
They're not memorable lyrics. And so like what I enjoy about this movie is the warm fuzzies I get sharing it with other people. And I know that's kind of an answer I've given a couple times about a couple films, but this podcast has been like sharing movies for whatever compelling reason with people I like to talk to about movies. So like it's warm fuzzies for me all the way down. Cheesy pretzel bites.
Nice.
We were at Winco today. We could have gotten some.
Well, golly, what do I have to applaud this movie, since it's brand new to me? I don't have any of those fuzzy feelings towards it. I would be totally happy not watching this movie again.
That's your applaud.
You never have to.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You have to listen to this podcast.
I did think that there were some very attractive people in this movie, though. And so I will applaud the casting.
Nice.
Okay, nice. Mm-hmm. Well, applauders, we don't know when we're going to see you again, but we have enjoyed our time, and watching movies and talking about them with you is incredible. So thank you for being here for that.
Yeah.
We are certainly not taking down the feed. So if you do feel like revisiting any of our past episodes, or maybe there's some that you still haven't hit, we do recommend you visit shockedandapplaud.com, or find us on the podchaser.com or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Yeah, especially if shockedandapplaud.com may come and go. We may not pay for hosting if we're not really doing anything new. So definitely look for us on your favorite podcasting platform, and we'll still have shockedandapplaud@gmail.com too, if you want to reach out to us and give us some notes about past performances, or maybe even just give us a list of recommendations of things that you would like to see us discuss when we come back.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think we've given them 5 years of content so far. They're good for a while.
We have so many episodes, and all of them are broken up into 3 parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just a reminder, if you didn't catch it on the first episode of the month, we will be doing our best to make sure that you are not paying for content that we are not generating on Patreon. So we do recommend, if by the end of this month, if the time that you hear this last part, if you do still find your account connected to our Patreon page, please do go in and disconnect that. We certainly don't want to accidentally charge you for things that we're not giving you as a service.
All right. Oh, well, If we could have a whole like, we'll meet again, don't know where, don't know. No, it's probably going to be here if we come back. Like,
it's like at the end of The Shining.
Oh,
how does that go?
Midnight, all the stars and you. Except they do that at the end of the last podcast on the left, so okay. We can't steal that from them.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's just us in a black and white photo of seven brides for seven brothers.
Oh, yeah, that's what would happen. We're in limbo in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers until we come back. Oh no, internet.
We're trying to make vows with herds of cows, but we can't do it.
Can't sleep with electric sheep. Anyways, until next time, I'm Naomi McQuaid.
I'm Lydia Malcolm.
And I'm Jen McQuaid, and this is Shocked and Applaud. Thank you so much for listening.
Yay! Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for listening. Bye. Bye, bye, bye.
Stop.